2 Samuel chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse 6. When the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, what these fellows had done was they'd given their king really bad advice. David was trying to show comfort to him because his dad had died, this fellow Hanan. And this guy got bad advice, and he took David's servants, shaved off half their beards, cut off their garments and melons, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. He humiliated these guys. When he did that, and these guys were greatly ashamed, they had a second thought. It's too late. And said, uh-oh, that was David's voice. We did that too. So this is what's about to happen. When they saw that they stank before David, wasn't about body odor. It's talking about their testimony and attitude. The children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Makeh, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zoab and Rehob and Ishtob and Makeh were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he got enemies on both sides of him, he chose of all the choice men of Israel, put them in array against the Syrians, and the rest of the people he delivered in the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. And you cannot help but just love Joab's attitude. He didn't talk about defeat. All he said was, if they're too much for you, I'll help. If they're too much for me, you help. But we're going to get these boys. Look at verse 12, our key text. Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. Hold your place there, if you would. We'll read one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Father, we pray you bless today, Lord. Only you could do what's in my heart. Only you could say what needs to be said in the amount of time I'm going to use, Lord. And I pray you'd help. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're over in 2 Samuel chapter 10, turn to the left a bit to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And I want to try to maintain the context primarily in 2 Samuel 10. There's many other verses I'm going to get you to turn to or read to as a way of introduction. But I want you to get hold of a truth and a phrase that God says in His book. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines, in verse 7, were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. Now, God had not come into the camp. The Israelites, being as superstitious as the Philistines, had gotten the Ark of the Covenant and risked everything. They had risked the glory of God on this one battle. And so these Philistines, verse 8 said, woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Verse 9, be strong and quit yourselves like men. Why? O ye Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you, quit yourselves like men and fight. I don't know that very many people, when they read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, ever picked up on what Paul's doing there. But in verse 13, he's making a direct analogy to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, they said, quit yourselves like men. The average person today, the average American, thinks the word quit means to stop doing something, or to lay off, or go home. And that word there in your King James Bible is the right word. He says, quit you like men, be strong in 1 Corinthians 16, 13. You know what he's saying? If you put an A in front of that, A-C, it'd be acquit. It says, prove yourselves to be men. You see, the problem today is And we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 10 if people don't understand that there's two different ways to be a man. And for you as ladies, this applies to you as a Christian, but most of what's on my heart has been there for many months now on this thing of the value of a warrior with God. You see, we live in a time when there is not that attitude in Christianity that there used to be. The word Salvation Army doesn't conjure up in your mind people that are out waging a gospel war. You have pictures in your mind, people that are out getting up collections and feeding people and doing all kinds of stuff. I'm in the middle of the outback at a what they call a show there. It'd be like a little county fair where we're at, and we're putting out the gospel. And it's right next door to a racetrack. Right next door to a thoroughbred racetrack. And that stinking Salvation Army guy is standing there inside the racetrack selling his little thing to drunks to make some money for his thing. And he ain't telling the gospel, and the gospel's not in his magazine. I mean, I was so beside myself, my fellows had to get me and say, look, you need to go for a walk, Brother Mike, because I mean, I was ready to go there and kick his backside. Why? Because I grew up on a racetrack. I traveled every major racetrack on the East Coast. Not one time did any of you Christians give me a gospel track. Not one time. And you see, people think that, well, you know, there's all kinds of different ways. Listen, there's only one way in God's eyes to be a man, and that is to be one of his men. I want you to get hold of something. The Philippians said, quit you like men. What was their motive? It was a carnal motive. It was a selfish motive. It was an independent motive that didn't want God as their God. Paul says, quit you like men. What does he mean? He means prove God's worthy. So come to 2 Samuel 10, and I want you to focus on verse 12 with me. Now, context is always important, I guess, unless you just need a place to start, which some fellows do. But the context here is very important. The context is, look at the verse, be of good courage. Look, let us play the man for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. That is completely different than a Philistine saying, man, we better protect ourselves so that we don't have to serve God. So there's two different kinds of acquitting yourself. The Philistine is saying, be a man and man up like the world would. Now come over to your New Testament a little bit. Let's look at a few verses here. Because I want to talk to you a little bit about this thing of a warrior in the eyes of God. The value of a warrior. Come to the book of James. The Bible is a book of war. From the very first pages, we have war. In fact, if you'll study your Bible, you'll find that between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there was a war before man ever came along. If you'll look at just around you, you see the marks of it. When Eve is in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, there's already somebody who's against her. There's already somebody who's trying to make her fall, and he does. There's already somebody there who's been fighting God. His name's Lucifer. So in James chapter 4, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not? Hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Look to the left a little bit. Look at let's look at the books of Timothy for a minute. We'll start in 1 Timothy and go through that book for a minute. I want you to get a hold of something here. The Bible is a book of war. Now, there's a reason. In Psalm 120, verse 7, he says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So war is not something God instituted, but war is an absolute fact of life. And the war is the world and the flesh and the devil against God Almighty. There is a battle going on. Whether you and I acknowledge it or not, it's still there. Look at 1 Timothy. Watch. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a what? Mark it. Mark the word. Good warfare. A good warfare. Look at chapter 6. Look at chapter 6 and verse 12. Mark this down. A good warfare. Chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Look at 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou have heard of me among many men, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Watch. Thou therefore endure hardness as a, there's that word again, good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him with a chosen to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. You have in your hands the King James Bible. You have a supernaturally provided book. Amen. It is the scriptures for today. Nobody on the face of the earth would be better armed if they had something besides their King James. They had some Greek junk or some Hebrew. There's no way you could ever be as armed as you would today with this book. You see, he keeps telling us, good, good, good. The guys who translated this didn't realize all that. They were just doing their job. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. This is so essential to lay out before you what I want to get in your hearts and minds today. Joshua chapter 1. When someone quits themselves, they discharge or perform completely their duty. When someone plays the man, there are two different distinctions. Listen to me. When you go look it up in the English, this thing of play, you know what one of them is? I'm going to read it to you. It's to jort, to joke, to sport, to frolic, to act with levity. That's one. That's over here. You know what the other one is? To put into action or motion, to act or perform, to carry out a duty. For every real thing, you're going to find a counterfeit, and you better get used to this as a Christian. So he says, let us play the man. You think he's talking about joking and frolicking and acting with levity? No, he's talking about we. Now look, if you had a sword and a knife and a spear and bows and arrows and someone's trying to kill you and you're trying to defend and kill yourself, do you think that's going to be like, you know, some lighthearted entertainment? Do you think you might take it seriously? Amen?
Amen?
Come on, Joshua chapter 1. Watch this with me. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Mark that word again. Good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now please come back to 2 Samuel 10. And let's look at our text for today. We need to take to heart, and of course as men here we need to, but as women you need to also. Do you know that, and it's going to be hard perhaps, but feminism has done its dirty, diabolical, destructive, and devious work on Western society. Feminism has taken, and it knew the only way to succeed was to bring man down, because they were never going to be equal with him. And I didn't make it that way, and you didn't make it that way, and some guy didn't make it that way. God made it that way. He made man out of dirt. And he cared enough to make Eve out of a rib. See? But he made us out of dirt. As one man said, you know, Adam, your name's mud. You're just a bunch of water and dirt mixed up. And he made us two different creatures. And feminism works on this premise. We will tell the man what is manly. And if you don't do what I think's a good husband, and you don't do what I think's manly, I'm going to nag you till you conform to me. I think of somebody called Michael in the Bible. And David's out there praising God and blessing God, and he comes home and she goes, I don't think that was appropriate. He says, drop dead. Now you say whatever you want to say. He said, you know, God chose me over your daddy, and then God shut her womb. Now you choose whatever. So I think it's Jezebel. I think old Jezebel, what did Jezebel want to do? Why, Jezebel said, Ahab, I'll take care of this for you. Give me your signet. I would give her that thing, man. I'll tell her what she did. You know what she did? She got a guy killed for it. Mm-hmm. What about Herodias? You ever thought of Herodias? Yeah. What a great reputation I had John the Baptist's head cut off. What about Herod? He didn't have enough guts to say, you know, you tricked me, little girl, and you ain't getting his head. And you raise a fuss and you kick your heels and you go to your stinking room, little girl. I'm not killing the man of God. You see, he said here in verse 12, let be of good courage. Look, be of good courage. Let us play the man. Watch for our people, for the cities of our God. Now let me say this. We have to face the reality of enmity. You've got to face this. There is an enmity. Our Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. You have inside you someone who hates God. Why does he say, take that child and beat the devil out of him? Because it's in us. Why does he say a child let himself bring this mother to shame? Why? Because it's in us. Now watch. We have the resistance that is endemic to adulteration. You know what endemic is? It's something you find in a given people. Well, guess what? We are all Adam's race. And I'm going to tell you, there's a resistance that is endemic in us that resists God's way. What about the refusal to engage the enemy? Have you ever noticed that there is something in our nature that wants to fight God? What about the resources for effective warring? And let me tell you this, the rest is every man's choice. And the records are entered daily and kept as our own life. Now, every man, woman, these little kids, boy or girl, is meant by God to be like these men. Look at the verse. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Now, you get this, man. This battle was their battle. They didn't know it was going to be put in a book. They didn't know that several thousand years later we'd be reading it. But I'll tell you what they did know. This is my battle. This is my battle. This is my day. This is the day I have. And if I don't fight today, somebody else is going to take me out and take our people out and take the cities. Look, the play them in for the cities of our God and for our people. If I don't play my battle today, let me say, the world has made light of playing the man for God. As if playing football, for example, is war. No, it's a game. Oh, I'm a tough guy. Or basketball, or shooting Bambi. Oh, I was in a lot of danger. Whew. Yeah, thought I'd get hooked to death. I don't mean it's wrong to hunt deer. See, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that's a man. I want you to contrast in your mind before I get to these few points. There's good courage. And there's courage. The Philistines' courage was selfish, humanistic, self-preservation. Have you ever thought what you'd do to keep from to save face, to keep from losing face? And I'm probably going to preach to us men mostly. But you ever thought how men will endure something to keep from being embarrassed? And we think, oh, that's being so manly. He said, here, look at it, good courage. You know the difference? Good courage is when it's for the good thing, and it's done in a good way, and it's for God. So I could have courage coming out my pores and not please God. Those Philistines fought to the death, but they didn't have good courage because they weren't after some good things. A good warrior, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it's those good things. This battle was their battle. They had no idea. So guess what yours is today? Your life is your battle. I have a battle right now. You say, well, nobody really knows, and nobody ever says anything, and nobody ever cares. Well, of course not. They got their battle. But God puts people together to be an army. Do you know in Exodus that chapter 12, he told Moses, your people are an army. The people of God have always been meant to see themselves as an army. There are different analogies. He gives us sheep, and he gives us a flock, and he gives us soldiers. Yes. Amen. One of the greatest problems, when I was hammering this thing on feminism, is because we have too many women who do not want to marry a Christian soldier. They want somebody to serve them, and their flesh. And I want you to be this spiritual because it's convenient. And I want you to be this spiritual because you won't go out and run around on me. And I want you to be this spiritual because you won't drink. But don't you dare get sold out to God. Yeah. Because you want your carnal habits and your carnal liberty and everything else. And it's the curse of Christianity today. The curse is there's not a group of women saying, you be a soldier and you play the man and I will back you all the way. Amen. Because this Bible says that if they had not gone out and done that, these people, now you listen to me, do you know what these Ammonites are like? Mm-hmm. They're going to kill the women. They're going to kill the children. They're going to take everything they want. Do you know what the world is like, guys? The world will take anything you'll let it take. The flesh will take anything you let it take, and the devil will take anything you let him take. Why is he like that? It's endemic. This reality has to set into our minds. Now, I want to just give you a few thoughts about being a good warrior and what we fight for. In this context, first of all, a good warrior fights for the good cause. We've read all these verses with the word good in them, and good, and the description good. Because you can be a man or you can be a good man. You can be a fighter or you can be a good fighter, a fighter for God. There is no value in fighting God. There is no value in being independent. There is no value in being worldly and tough and all those sort of things. Because at the end of the day, we're nothing more than a Philistine. I don't want to go down in God's record. Listen, I got my own little battle I'm living. I got my own little daily life, and you do too. And I don't expect to find it in some big book, but I know it's going in a book. Because he told me that my life and your life is going in a book. Now there's going to be some things you're going to say, Lord, could I have that book for a minute? Because you're going to reach in there and get your pocket knife and I wanted to cut some of them pages out. You know, some of them, it won't be some horrible thing on it. If you're not careful, if I'm not careful, it'll just be a blank page. Man, who would want that? You see there? There's AWOL written on it. Another one, AWOL, another AWOL. I'm like, whoa. Lord, I don't want that. But lest I get ahead of myself, these Israelites versus the Philistines, these Israelites versus these Ammonites, these Israelites versus these Syrians here in this passage. And it's a contrasting cause and a contrasting courage. It's the good versus the carnal. It's the good versus the natural. Listen, there are so many carnal causes. There is, you know, the cause of abortion, and there's the cause of adoption and by homosexuals and alcohol and capitalism and socialism and communism and taxes and liberty and gun rights and all that sort of stuff. But our text says, let us play the man, look at it with me, for our people and for the cities of our God. Do you know the word patriotism means? You ready? Devoted to one's country. And in parentheses, I put state. That's a big thing, isn't it? Patriotism. I want you to go to the New Testament with me. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to bear down on this for a minute because I know. Listen, I know that the more you get hold of what I'm about to say to you, the better citizen you'll be here. But my patriotism, let me back up. Watch this. If I was the devil, all I'd have to do is get you to use a lot of your moral energy for something besides the thing. That's all I'd have to do. If I want to defeat you in martial arts, all I've got to do is get you to put your energy. I mean, and many, many times when you're fighting somebody in martial arts, you want them to put all their energy into one spot where they think they're going to hit you. And you want them to feel like it. There's times when you're fighting martial arts, you literally, the guy comes at you, you take his hands, and you put them on your waist. So he feels like he has you. And then you cut his head off with your hands. Because he grabs that and he's like, ha ha, about the next, he doesn't remember the next thing. Because his Adam's apple is about to get crushed, and this little button right here is about to get pushed. And so he's going to say, what happened? Last thing I knew, I had a hold of him. There's in martial arts and real fighting, not in all this weird stuff, you want him to grab your arm. You want him to pull real hard because you're going to give in to him and you're going to take it. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to have a cause. The devil wants you to be involved in causes, put your energy. He wants you to be mad, M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and everything else. He wants you doing anything but the good cause. Well, that's how it works. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace, verse 8, are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. Now watch it, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Look down at verse 15. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now watch, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, there's that word again, thereby. Now watch. He came and preached peace to you which were far off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, would you mark this? Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Listen, my country is heaven. And if I'm a patriot, one who loves his country, the devil would love for me to love what everyone tells me is a good country. If you don't believe me, now come to Hebrews 11. Because some of you don't. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. I'm telling you, you're never going to hear me preach some anti-American type of thing and all that. You'll hear me preach an anti-world type of thing. But here's why. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. This is so important. A good warrior, a good man fights for the good cause. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Up to here, he's talked about Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now watch this with me. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What a statement. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see a patriot. He fights for the good cause. The good cause is the Lord Jesus Christ. The good country that this cause comes out of. It's heaven. He said, "We need. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God." You see, we have to get back to where we are true patriots of Jesus Christ. Do you know what they accused Jesus Christ of being? They accused him of trying to overthrow the government. Why? They were scared to death. They were absolutely scared to death that all these people who were following him were going to take up arms. You know what he said? I'll have to mention this in a minute, but, well, in our next point. You know what he said? He said, if I wanted to, I'd take this place over. He says, not time yet to physically take it over, but if I wanted to, I could take it over. Look at 2 Timothy 2, where he says, be strong in the grace, verse 2, the things thou, then verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. Why? Why? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Many years ago on a battlefield, a French soldier had been wounded and lay dying, World War II, and one of his officers came along, and or an officer of the American forces, and saw him. And he noticed he had a World War I helmet on. And the boy was obviously dying. He was almost gone. And he leaned down and said, he patted the helmet. He said, it was my father's. He wore it bare down. And he said, anything I can do for you, son? He said, one favor. He said, just turn my head towards Paris. He said, turn my head towards home while I die on the battlefield. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's so few men today that are get their head out of the stinking television and out of the DVDs and out of the magazines and out of the sports long enough to say, Lord, I want to fight the good cause. Heaven is my home. Heaven is your home. You're going there. And I'm going to tell you, you don't want to go home as a draft-dodging citizen. You don't want to go home as someone who said, that earth, it was just too much fun not fighting for our people in the cities of our God. You don't want to do that. A good warrior fights for the good cause. Secondly, a good warrior, while you're there in your New Testament, look at Hebrews chapter 2. A good warrior fights for the good captain. A good warrior fights for the good captain. Our Bible tells us in Hebrews, what a blessing to know this and picture this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ is my captain.
Amen.
You know, David, in chapter 10 of 2 Samuel, David sent these men out. When the battle broke out, David succored these men. He secured them. He went out and backed them up in verse 17. And then David showed them all along the way. Have you ever thought about this? They got to fight for a kid who went out and took Goliath's head off. What was his claim to fame? He just went out with his tools of shepherding. You see, let me draw a connect the dots as men. Men, listen to me a minute. You'll never be a shepherd if you're not a warrior. Because the hireling fleeth. For the sake of a lamb. Ready? You know what a hireling says? It's a lamb. Come on. You want me to face up a bear and a lion for this little... Have the lamb. Want to? Will that get you out of here? Not that warrior. See, if you're not careful, what happens is, as men, you think all this worldly stuff. If you're not careful, fellas, you listen to me how this world works, and you ladies just have to bear with it. Now, let me tell you women, you need to be preparing to be a soldier's wife. So you need to take what I'm saying and say, I expect my man to be that way. I expect him to be fanatical. I want him to be fanatical. If you're not careful, you'll get what you want. And you'll have so much control over him, he will be bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ. I know men that should be on mission fields today. I know men that should be in pulpits today. I know men that should be trained for ministry, and they're not. Because of the power of a woman. Now, to you men, I'm going to say this to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is our captain. You say, how could you draw an analogy of Jesus being a soldier? Ready? When he was 2 years old, the army came after him. And they wiped out a whole village. And whenever there was a ruckus, they were trying to send those guys after him. When he was fasting in the wilderness, he stood toe-to-toe with the devil and whooped him. Come over to Colossians. I want you to see a verse, Colossians. I love this. I still remember where I was at. This is many, many, many years ago when I heard this verse read, Colossians chapter 2. And I just want to remind you of something. Listen, he played the man. The Gary Duty song says he took it like a man. He played the real man. A good warrior fights the good cause. A good warrior fights for the good captain. Look at this, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing to his cross. Now watch. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You tell me that's not a soldier. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Brother Wood used to say, I still remember where I was at, he's reading these verses, and he said, let me put it into everyday English for you. He whooped the devil in front of his own boys. And I thought, man, what a thing that would have been. Hell, the devil's out in the wilderness. Jesus Christ is out in the wilderness. All the forces of hell around him. And he's saying to him, if thou be, and he's saying, whack. If thou be, whack. If thou be, whack. And he gets on the cross, Psalm 22, we did last week, and preached to you, and he's up there, and all these bulls of Bashan, and all these ghouls, and goblins, and devils are around him that nobody can see, standing there. And he's whipping them one after another. And he goes down there and he kicks the devil down. And he takes the keys away from him to death and hell. And he says, you're whipped in front of your own boys.
Amen.
tell me Jesus Christ wasn't a soldier. He was a warrior. And when he comes back, his garment's going to be dipped in the blood of his enemies. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want to follow anybody that wasn't like that. Now here's the catch, fellas. We don't get to fight a carnal battle here. That'd be too easy, man. You know, I get wore out. You guys can tell I do. I get wore out with some of your little war stories. First of all, none of you are as bad as a lot of guys I know. Anybody can be a rebel. Anybody can do drugs. Anybody can steal. Anybody can fight. Anybody can. But not anybody can stand for Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, I can take you to a 5'3" little lightweight that has stood with more courage for Jesus Christ than some 6'5", 280-pound bully. Now, I'm trying to inspire you a little bit to say, you know something, your Lord Jesus Christ, he could have lashed out and he didn't get to. And he could have called 12 legions of angels and he could have whooped them on the spot, but we would have died and gone to hell. The Apostle Paul could have done all kind of stuff that he wanted to do with his life. But you know what he was? He was a good warrior of Jesus Christ. And he fought for the good captain. Our carnal, casual, crude, carefree criminal life does not represent my captain. You know what represents my captain? A godly, clean, fervent, aggressive, constant Christian life. Warring against the devil and the flesh and the world, and saying, I will not give in because of my captain. Why? Because he's my captain. Would he ever ask you to do something he hadn't done? Would he ever ask you to face a trial that he hasn't faced? No. Did David ask his men to do something? Why, he just leads and say, come on, boys, let's get them. And into battle they'd go. A good warrior does this, thirdly. He fights for the good calling. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me say this to you. Paul writes to Timothy. I don't know if you can catch sometimes the emotion in this first chapter of 2 Timothy. Paul's one of the closest people in the whole world, Paul, was Timothy. Paul is in prison. And he's writing to Timothy. He's left him at Ephesus. And then he writes him the second time because he's gotten word that things are going hard on Timothy. And he's put his whole life into this young man. And he knows that if the devil wants to fight anybody, he's going to fight a Timothy of Paul or a Titus of Paul. So I want you to start in verse 4. He said, verse 3, I thank God who I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He said, Timothy, I'm praying for you, son. Greatly desiring to see thee, what? Be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. You know what? Real men cry. My dad didn't cry growing up till he got saved, and it was like a floodgate opened up. He cried 2 times. When a horse died, and my little brother almost died. I got beat, stomped, run over. Get up. His favorite saying was, it's a long ways from your heart. It's not a mortal wound. Get up. Now, when the horse died and he cried, I was like, you know, that horse means a lot to him. But when he got saved, you know what happened? And he says, Timothy, I understand it's hard. I understand they're fighting you. I understand they're... Look, he said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in... that which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice. I'm persuaded. He said, you got this in you, Timothy. Now watch. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said, Timothy, don't you remember? You remember the day we prayed together? No one else was there probably. They might have been in a prison cell. They might have been on a seashore. And he put his hands on them and said, God, put something in this boy. Put something in this boy. Look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But look at verse 8. Do you understand what he's about to say to him? He's saying, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Timothy, don't turn your back on me. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9, who has saved us, and mark this, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. God didn't call you according to your past life. God didn't call you according to your preferences. God didn't call you according to your personality. God didn't call you according to your genetics or the dysfunctional of them, that's for some others, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy, now keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. He says, Timothy, 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 you have a good calling. Be a good warrior. Fight for the good calling. Timothy's been struggling, and Paul hears about it. Timothy's been sidetracked. In the next chapter, he said, don't be entangled again with the affairs of this life. He's softening, and he's in danger of setting aside his calling. But Paul says, Timothy, look at chapter 2 there, what he said. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He said, Timothy, we're called to suffer. We're called to sacrifice. We're called to shepherd. We're called to stand. But Timothy, it's a good calling. And Timothy, nobody outside, you're not going to go down to a career place and they're going to say, now we think what you need to do is hang in there with Paul and lose your name and lose your reputation and lose your health and lose your friends. And you know, we just feel like you'd really be suited to this suffering and the sacrifice. I don't think so. No. You know how many people tell people, young men, you realize if you preach, you're never going to have any money and this and that. Do you know 90% of the time that's true? And then someone sets out to make it not true, so they have a little Southern Baptist church or a so-called independent Baptist church and put the guy on a big old salary and drives around everything to try to prove that there's no sacrifice in the ministry. How could there not be a sacrifice? My Savior gave everything. Paul gave, listen, other than Christ, Paul's my hero. He died in a prison cell. Before that, he had the book of Acts ends in his own rented house. He got nothing. But buddy, I'd like to be within 100 yards of him at the judgment seat of Christ just to see what it's going to be. But you know what he did? He lived out his life just like these men in 2 Samuel 10. That battle was that battle for them that day. And your life is that way. God is looking on. The Holy Spirit's looking on. The saints are looking on. The spirit world is looking on. A good warrior fights for the good calling. And finally, since you're in 2 Timothy, go to chapter. Look at chapter 2 and then chapter 4. A good shepherd fights for the good crown. A good shepherd, a good warrior fights for the good crown. It's the temporary versus the eternal. Do you know, now get this, you fellows, they have found Super Bowl rings in pawn shops. Because the guy got drunk and gambled it away. Think about that. Think about how temporary anything is today. Years ago, there was a famous golfer named Raymond Floyd. He lived in South Florida, and his house burnt down. And he'd won trophies and all this stuff. And the reporter thought he was going to make a story out of it and said, well, how do you feel about losing all those trophies? And he looked the guy in the eye and said, are you an idiot? He said, nobody was home. Everybody got out alive. He said, I couldn't care about anything else. That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to get our heads back. He said, let us fight. He said, look at it, mark it. Let us play the man. Be of good courage. Let us play the man for our people and for the cities of our God. God wants you and I as men to constantly be challenged and inspired and confronted with what it is to be a good warrior. We're not supposed to live our life for anything else. Look at 2 Timothy 1, chapter 2, verse 5. If a man strive for masteries, he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. And then chapter 4. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now watch. This is important to get the wording. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. We're to be clean fighting. We're to be consecrated in our focus. We're to be have a crucified frame of mind, and we're to be continually faithful. Are we going to get entangled or engaged in the battle? Are we going to get caught up in carnal achievements versus the kingdom of God? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll tell you with no shame whatsoever, that in this little gathering, someday, at some point, May the 31st, 2009, God will say to me, Mike Gilbert, he'll say to each of you men, say to anybody listening, you know what he's going to say? What are you going to do about it? He will, I'm telling you. You know why? Because we can know. We're supposed to be patriots of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what can I do? There's a few things you can renew. We need to renew. Some people got to re-up. Some have to repent. Some have to return. But we all ought to be reaching forth. We all ought to every single day. And if we get off track, get back on it and say, Lord, I want... Listen, God values warriors. Good warriors. And if God values them, I promise you, He will not let you down someday. This world does not value a good warrior, Jesus Christ. You're not going to find people that have good things to say about Paul preaching the gospel. You're not going to have them find good things to say about these men that carried the Bible and smuggled it in and preached it. But you will have someone in heaven that says, well done thou, ready, good, and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the liberty to preach the word of God. And you know, all that's in my heart, Lord, is to see your name uplifted, that we might be of good courage and play the man. For your people, Lord, our people of God, and the cities of our God, and the work of God, and the churches around the world, that between now and when you call us home, need to be cared for. Lord, you do whatever seems good to you. We can live with that. I can live with whatever you do, Lord, because you are who you said you are. And I pray you'd work in Jesus' name. Amen.